Going to be a hot week, amen? So we should have a hot Sunday service preaching-wise. Haven't had a hot one, have we, for a while? We should have a hot one. Anyway, we're going to have hot outside this week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and for the worship time to draw us up close to you before we hear your word. And just we pray that you open our ears, our hearts, our minds as we look into your word this morning. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, be careful this week. It's going to be a warm week, but you know, it's okay. It's okay. Looking at our, titled this our problem, but I have a second title to it, Victory Over Sin. I actually like the second one. You know, the first part is we don't like to think we have problems, but we all do, don't we? And our problem here is sin, but I like the second title, Victory Over It. We need to have victory because victory is, you know, we can overcome it, and we overcome it, of course, through Jesus. If you turn to Romans chapter 3 and start at verse 22, I'm going to go ahead and read that, and it's a very powerful. Read with me. 3:22. This righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus. To all who believe, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins of committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Wow. There's a lot going on there. It's really basic and simple, but yet so much there. And thinking about this and sin, you know, because we know the sin, wages of sin is death. That's the problem, is we all, like he said, we all die someday. But those of us who believe, we have the hope of Jesus and going to heaven, and our souls go there, and we get new bodies and all those wonderful things that we talk about. But sin is just a terrible thing. You ever have, my wife says sometimes I have a problem with pins. Guys, and maybe girls too, where you put the pin in the pocket and you get ink on the shirt. Ladies hate that, don't they? Because they got to get the stain out. You ever have that problem? You don't have that problem? I do. Oh, Stacy has it. Good. I've seen a few hands back here. Yeah. Yeah, it's a real problem. In fact, one guy wrote it this way. He says, if you get pin marks on your clothes, they are hard to get out. Messing up clothes with pins, is a specialty of mine, he says. He says, I always keep my pin in either my pants or my shirt pockets, and sometimes I forget to put the cap in and cover them. Especially if you got a gel pen, don't you? Oh, a gel pen leaks out bad. You can ruin a shirt, actually, or a pair of pants. This guy says, I have a pair of pants that are one of my favorites. I have a big blue stain near the pocket of these pants, and so every time I wear these pants, I have to wear a jacket. You know, I think it's time to change pants and get rid of those. Anyway, if you don't, people focus on the stain no matter how good they look. You look in those pants, I don't want people to be talking about my stain, so I try to cover it up. There's the second piece of that. That's what we try to do with our sin, isn't it? We try to cover our sin. It doesn't work. Only Jesus can do that. Anyway, he says, thanks goodness, I know of a great cleaners in town that specializes in getting ink out of stains out of clothes. We all have stains. Now, this is application. We all have stains. Some of us have really bad stains in our lives. Some of us are stained so badly that all the scrubbing that we've tried to do hasn't done a thing to get the stains out. I mean, our sins are still blaring out there, our stains. All of us have stains. But I know of cleaners in glory can take care of the worst possible stains that you and I have gotten our lives into. He's a specialist in stain removal. I like that. And he wants to remove the stains. He wants to be able to walk around us, to be able to walk around clean so that the world can have no basis of accusing us. See, you sin. Yeah, they like to point fingers. And he wants us so clean that we can stand in the day of judgment and be spotless. And of course, we know that stain remover is Jesus with the blood. Cleanses us, or as it would say in the Greek, carterizes, cleanses us, so that we're spotless in God's sight. That is so important. So important. I say that with the idea, and this is the main idea, we have all sinned. Amen? Amen. There's nobody that is sinless except Jesus. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Thankfully, though, God has given us a victory over sin. We're not without hope. We have a victory. We have won in the end. That's what's wonderful when you read the Word of God and you get to the book of Revelation. You see who wins the war. We have won through Jesus. He doesn't win. Satan thinks he's going to win, but he loses badly. And he doesn't seem to get that. So looking at today, I'm going to look at four ways that we have victory. Four different ways. And I basically have taken four different words in this passage of Scripture that God has given us victory over that sin. You need to have that victory. You need to have that in your head. I have victory. I am a winner. You know, sometimes it's like going to a ball game and you're out there cheering for your team. We're victory. We won. We're, you know, and as Christians, we don't do that enough. We don't walk around like we are victorious. We walk around too sad sometimes. We need to walk around saying, hey, I have won. That is so important. So the first is by being justified. Justified. Now, justified is a word that we do a lot of justifying all the time, but we don't actually use the word that much, but we go around trying to justify ourselves all the time. Justifying is the act for us, scripturally, the act by which God moves a willing person from the state of sin to the state of grace. Let me say that again. Being justified is the act by which God moves a willing person, meaning that we have to be willing, from the state of sin to the state of grace. State of grace. So that's important. A little quote, Martin Luther. You know, he was caught up in a time period where the law was the means of salvation, not grace, not the blood of Jesus. But he came to faith and to a point where he says, wow, if I have faith, then it's by grace that I'm saved. And it's so important. So anyway, he came to this point of being justified by faith is apart from works or the law. A lot of us like to think that we can work our way into heaven. And we do it even not even thinking about it. We can't work our way to heaven. We need to work because we love Jesus, but that's not how we get to heaven. We get to heaven because Jesus died on the cross, the shed blood, the grace of God. Anyway, justified by faith apart from works was early staggered under the blow of it. He stepped out of his cell. This is Martin Luther when he's in a monastery. Made his way through the clustered halls of the monastery, and he saw a rope. He was about to fall, and he grabbed the rope to support himself. And when he did, guess what the rope was attached to? And of course, his weight pulled it, and it was the rope that led to the belfry and rang out the chimes. This is actually kind of funny. In the middle of the night, as if to say to the world, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You know, that happened to Martin Luther, but think about it. Yeah, and that's what he became famous for. I think a lot of churches have fell short of understanding that what he really was about when he changed, when he stepped out of the Catholicism, it was he saw that it wasn't by works that you were saved, that it was by faith. And it was so important in that sense. He was justified. So justification, that act by which God moves a willing person from the state of sin to the state of grace. And that's where you want to be, is in the state of grace, not in the state of sin. If you're in the state of sin, you're unhappy. You don't feel good about yourself. You feel guilty. Satan's there pointing his finger, accusing you, that you're telling you you're a bad person. And we are bad people, but we are good people because God has justified us. And you can feel good about yourself then because Jesus died for you. So we are justified. The next part is one of the other ways of victory is by His grace. And I've talked about grace before, and I'll keep talking about grace. And we know that grace is that unmerited favor. We don't deserve anything. It's freely given to us. God has freely given us unmerited favor. I've experienced this many times, many ways. I think one of my people that remind me often of it is we used to go to dinner every Wednesday night after Bible study back in Centralia and with a couple in the church, of friends, good friends, Ronnie and Marilyn. He is from Tennessee. And he will let you know, if you ever meet Ronnie and Marilyn, they might come out here sometime, they'd love it. They will let you know that Tennessee, he thinks that's God's place. Like we would think Nebraska is God's place. He thinks Tennessee is God's place, and he loves talk about the Civil War. No, he won't call it that. He'll call it the war between the states. But anyway, he's also taught me about grace. There's many times I go to dinner, Andrew and I eat a great dinner, and we would not deserve this. And I'd go to pay, and he says, and I'd find out it was all taken care of. I said, Ronnie, you can't do that. He says, no, it's grace, free. You know, so I experienced it. He gave me a meal for free. You know, we have salvation free grace. Just think about it. We'd say, we get to the pearly gates, and we go up there, and how do you get in? You say, well, by grace. We freely get in. Our sin has been blotted over, so to speak, cauterized by the shedding of blood. It's grace. It is grace. I think about grace sometimes when our kids were young. Anna, you were too young for this. We did this before you were born. When we lived in Ohio for a while, we'd go up to SeaWorld. And how many have been to SeaWorld? Any of you? Oh, one. You've missed out. It is really a cool place. You've been to SeaWorld? Good. Florida. That's good. Yeah, the one in Ohio isn't there anymore. But the one in Florida is there, and the one in California is there. And is there another one? Texas. Okay. They are a neat park with sea animals, obviously. And who's the famous one there is Shamu. Yeah, I love Shamu. And what amazed me is they get in the water and swim with this big, big... Now, what is Shamu? Is he a... He's a killer whale. Why would you want to get in water and swim with a big killer whale? And it doesn't make sense, does it? And they're giving fish constantly to them because I think it's they're bribing them not to eat them. And I think that's the grace. Because I'm thinking, there's got to be, because that you can't even wrap your arms around this big fish. It's so big. And yet it does some neat tricks and jumps in the air and does this. And they get with the fin and swim around the thing with it. And I love to go see Shamu. He's cool. But I feel like there's grace there because that whale, he could eat you easily. I mean, just, You know, so there's unmerited favor there. There might be a little merit because they feed him the fish all the time, but unmerited favor. Grace. So we have victory through justification. We have victory through grace. And it is Jesus who has given us that grace, obviously, by dying on the cross. The next way to have victory, as from the text, it says redemption. Redemption. Redemption is the act of being saved from sin. The act of being saved from sin. That's actually what happened on the cross, isn't it? He has redeemed us by dying on the cross, by shedding his blood. He took our place, my place, your place for sin. He has redeemed you, his redemption. It's so important we understand that. That's what Jesus did for you in that sense. There were two farmers that competed all the time. One was named Pete and one was named Dan. And Pete won all the time. And Dan never seemed to win, but he wanted to win so bad. So one year, Dan decided that he wanted to, that he would have a horse race. And he thought, my horse and my, and he wanted to win so bad he hired a professional jockey to ride his horse. And so they had this horse race, and the race was going really, really good. Until something about three quarters through, threw the horses off and threw the jockeys off. Oh, it was terrible. And Dan had been winning. But then pretty soon Dan's jockey got back up on the horse and got on and was leading again. In fact, he finished ahead of Pete's. But the problem was there was no redemption. He didn't win. Pete says, you won. It's great. And Dan had his head low and he says, no, I did not redeem myself. My jockey got on the wrong horse. You know, we get on the wrong horse many times. We cannot redeem ourselves. We need to let Jesus do all the redeeming. You know, we really do. It's so important. Redemption is a huge part of our salvation. The act of being saved from our sin. We cannot save ourselves by any works that we do. Anything that we, you know, we are encouraged to do work. We're encouraged to love one another and to love people and to be caring and kind. And we do that because we love Jesus, but that does not save us. The only thing that saves us is Jesus Christ and his shed blood. That is the act of redemption from our sin. And we have to accept that. The last thing that gives us victory in our lives is faith. And we will repeat this many times, faith. And I've known this for a long time, and Lou shared it with me, and I says, yeah, I know that one. I've used it before. It's faith can be acrostic of for all I take him. For all I take him. Him being Jesus, of course, and that's what it's about. But faith is important. You can take a moment and think back in your memory when you've done something out of faith. Usually prayer is associated with faith. I really believe that. I remember when our oldest daughter, Amber, was very young, about a year old, and you know, your soft spot begins to close at the appropriate time. Hers was closing early. And it scared us. And the doctor was very concerned. We were afraid she's going to have this surgery in her head. And so what do? We start praying. And it was God who took care of it. We went back to the doctor, and he says, I can't explain it. It's all taken care of. It's gone. It's not a problem. It's not closing early. And we knew. We said, oh, we know. But it was because of faith. We believed that God would take care of it, and God did. Now, it wasn't just our prayers. We had everybody, you know, this is what you do. You have everybody you know pray for the crisis, right? And that's good. Faith is so important. Faith is, another word for faith is trust. You all trust that these pews are strong and healthy, and so you sit in the pew knowing that it will hold you and not fall down and break, meaning that you believed or you had faith or you had trust that it was strong. We have that kind of faith, belief, and trust in God, that He will hears our prayers, He answers our prayers, and also with salvation. We have faith and believe that He has saved us because Scripture says so. We have faith in this book, which is a collection of books, but faith, even though we can't see, we believe, we trust. And it's interesting because we say that we can't see, but we always see the results, don't we? The results are there. And so in some ways we do see, because we see the answered prayers and what we believe, that God is so big that He hears and answers our prayers, and it's all by faith. Faith is essential to who we are as Christians and what we believe. You know, if you believe in Jesus, that is the core of everything. Believe what He did and what He will do, what He's done. You need to have faith. And faith in the blood. This passage where it says, so in the last part of that verse in 26, so that we be justified, and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. You know, it's just about believing that the blood, you know, when we have communion, we do that in remembrance of me, but part of the communion is the juice or the wine is a representation that you're saying, I believe that Jesus shed His blood for the forgiveness of my sins. I have faith. You have faith. Believing, trusting is so important in that sense. So yes, we have a sin problem. And yes, we have victory over sin. Amen?
Amen.
It's so, so important. So we have victory through being justified by grace, by redemption, and by faith. It all comes down to Christ. It all comes down to Christ. Grace. You know, we talked about grace. Grace is such an important one. Earlier, I should have probably said, this is probably the one that Lou was thinking was, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Not our expense, at His expense. He's the one that spent His life so that we could have life. I believe in that. Do you believe in that? Oh, wow. You got to. You have to. You know, we put those symbols everywhere. We have a cross here. There's one on top of the church. We have these windows with crosses saying, hey, we have victory over sin. We believe that He died for us. We believe that He sent His Holy Spirit. We see the dove represents that. And He has come into our hearts that Jesus is living within us. There's power in the fact that we know that Jesus lives inside of us. That's where the power is. But sometimes I think we walk around acting like sin has conquered us rather than us conquering sin. But we have that victory. It's so important. Won't you stand with me as we prepare to sing our invitation hymn, familiar one to you, Just As I Am, first and last verses. You know, I like this old hymn because it never gets old, because it is about we come to God just as we are. And He takes us, and He molds us, and He makes us who we are through His Son, Jesus. If you have a need to pray, we invite you to come. Or if you need to accept Jesus, we invite you to come. Or be part of this church, we invite you to come as we sing, Just